Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. First up, we are going to talk a bit of machine quilting because everybody loves to hear about that. And I have Karen Miller of Redbird Quilts with me, and she has a pretty recognizable pattern that a lot of you have seen. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You know, I think it's pretty amazing that your people recognize your cardinal quilt. Has this just blown you away?
It has. It really has. I created the cardinal quilt, of course, for the Mona Bake Shop in 2012 or 13, and it's just gone wild, and it's very enjoyable for me to see so many people love that pattern. It's one of my favorites. I really enjoyed creating it, and I just love sharing it with people. It's a really special quilt.
And I just, you know, I think everybody, once they see that quilt, they're like, oh, okay, that's who Karen is. It's just...
So, exactly.
I love your story. Just tell me your backstory real quick, how you got into making quilts.
Oh, sure. So my older sister, Janet, has always been the creative, artsy soul. My other sister, Michelle, is an artist, but Janet's always been the embroiderer quilter. So she invited me to do a dollar block of the month with her. It was a Thangles block of the month at the shop near her home. So I did that back in 2006. I did the Thangles block of the month for a dollar, and I learned to piece, which I realized kind of at the time I wasn't so hot about piecing. I quickly kind of turned my tables and went to applique, which is what really seemed to ring my bell. I really enjoyed applique. So I went from the dollar block of the month to applique, and I started blogging because I really found a lot of people, a lot of bloggers out there that were sharing kind of their heart stories and what they've learned. And I learned a lot from bloggers, so I started blogging myself, and one thing led to another, and I ended up winning some fabric from Deb Strain's blog, the Moda Designer. That was in 2013.
That's so funny, Karen, that you, you know, you went from the patchwork to the applique to blogging, and then all of a sudden, I mean, you're doing this in a very short period of time, and then you win this bundle of fabric from Deb Strain, and you know, what did you end up doing with that?
Well, I had a few quilty friends, including my sister, that said, you know, you should make something. What are you going to make with that? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'll play with it. So I fussed with the fabric and came up with this little pillow design. And I can't even remember who it was that encouraged me to send that to the Moda Bake Shop. They said, you should send that in. That's really cute. Send that. So I scratched out this thing that was partially made of fabric and partially drawn with crayon. And I sent it to the Moda Bake Shop, and they accepted the proposal to make the pillow for them. And I was, like, blown away. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. Of course, I put some applique in it, and I put a red bird because red birds are just really important to me. So they accepted it, and that's kind of what started my designing and kind of making things up on the fly. And after that, I just fell in love with being able to look at the bake shop fabrics that were coming up, the new fabrics. It's really fun to go out and look at fabric that isn't even released yet, you know?
Yeah,
and
it is.
Just kind of just let your creativity flow with the fabric. And I think I've published about 5 or 6 things now for the Moda Bake Shop. With the Moda Bake Shop, I love writing the tutorials and helping people along. And it's kind of been my joy to do that. And it's been quite a ride, actually. It's fun.
It is. I mean, it is a lot of fun to be able to get involved and then make this now your business. You know, your website is Karen's Quilts, Crows, Cardinals.
Yeah.
I think we can find you someplace faster, though. RedbirdQuiltCompany.com. So, yeah, you're kind of known now for your free motion quilting. That's one of the things about your your designs that people focus on is that you're really beautiful. You give yourself a lot of space to do beautiful quilting. And you're very generous. You have a lot of tutorials out on your website. You have a free motion quilting tab. Can we just talk for a little bit? There's just a lot to pack in for a segment, but tell me a little bit about some tips for free motion quilting. You know, you're working on a home machine, right?
I am, yes. I started, you know, I'm a firm believer that you can quilt on any home machine. It doesn't really necessarily matter the brand, but I did start on a tiny little Bernina, and I'm quilting on a Janome, and I quilt on all sorts of different machines in between. But I think the most important thing and the thing that I love to share with people is that it takes a lot of practice. It's really important to kind of doodle or draw your designs. That's my biggest tip to people is find the kind of a motif that you love and learn how to draw it on paper. Draw it on paper, draw it on a napkin, draw it on a whiteboard, whatever you have at your fingertips. If you're sitting in the car waiting in line at some place or waiting for your children to get out of school or whatever, just doodle what you like to draw. I think that's really the best. The biggest tip is to draw it and know then in your head how it's going to stitch back out because you've drawn it so many times, kind of like writing your name. We all know how to write our names because we've done it so many times. It's the same with quilting motifs. I really believe that.
Now, the other thing that you do is you're very effectively using prints that are on the fabric already. Like you have this gorgeous scallop in a fabric that you showcased, quilting that scallop that just is magnificent. How do you think about the fabric itself to know what might work?
Yeah, that's a great question, Pat. And that's a lot. And that seems to be a big challenge for people that are new to free motion quilting is the how to quilt that part. Mm-hmm. And I love to let the fabric inspire me. I don't consider myself all that creative actually. So when I look at this fabric, I tell people, let the fabric talk to you. You know, I'm a pin baster. I like to pin baste. And as I'm pin basting, I love to kind of just look at every different section of the fabric and let it talk to me. Let the design that's in the print reach out and tell me how it wants to be quilted. I know that sounds a little crazy, but if you're ever in a jam for how to quilt something, that's one way to kind of step back and look at it. Those scallops were part of the Barry J. Millie Floor fabric, and it was just, they just reached out and said they have to be quilted with a scallop design, and I actually needle turned them under as well, which is another joy of designing. And it just, I love the way that came out and then put the little pebbles around it. And it just worked out wonderfully. But it's because I try to let the fabric talk to me. That doesn't sound too wild.
No, it doesn't sound too wild. People can see that. It's your March 19th, 2016 article. So to take, because you have great close-up pictures. Now, I know that you're also working a lot with other types of designs that are already on the fabric, such as panels. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, panels. I love panels. And I'm a big promoter of using panels to learn to free motion quilt. And I started on panels myself. I had some little beautiful little bird panels that kind of I could turn into pillow. They weren't my color way. So I asked my sister if she liked this bird fabric, and she loved it. And I said, well, if I quilt it for you, then you think you would actually use it? And she's like, are you kidding me? Sure. So I started on these little smaller panels, and I've got a lot of inspiration from Wendy Shepherd. Ivory Spring is her blog. And Wendy inspired me to try a certain motif in the background of these little pillows, and it worked out wonderfully. So since then, I've moved on to growth chart pillows. Growth charts and all sorts of other just really whimsical panels by the world of CZB. There's so many panels out there. I just encourage people, grab a panel, go to your local quilt shop, get an inexpensive panel, find one that's on sale, and bring it home and use it to learn to free motion quilt because, again, the different characters on the panels and the prints in the panels can inspire you on what to quilt, and you don't have to spend a lot of money on a panel. So it's not like you're using a quilt that you've just spent the last year piecing. You can kind of take your fear away by quilting something that you don't have a lot of time or money into.
Right. I totally agree. I'm right there. The same thing. People are afraid they're going to mess up their real quilts, aren't they? You know, Karen. Yeah. They're like, I spent 18 million hours piecing this top. I don't want to mess it up.
And that's what most people say. Yeah, they say, I'm afraid to free motion quilt. And I say, don't be afraid. Go get a panel. You know, use some practice sandwiches to start, but grab a panel, because when you give that, especially if you're going to give it to a child or someone that doesn't know any better, they're not going to know if your stitches are too long or too short. And you can always, you know, recommend, you know, give it to Project Linus or a charity, you know, and give it away when you're done if you don't like it. But it's one step in your progression of becoming comfortable with quilting.
Now, you also have just released a book on doodling. Is it a coloring book?
It is. I turned it into a coloring book because a lot of people, actually all my online community, the social community, encouraged me as I was sharing my doodles. I love to doodle, and I think other people that want to learn to quilt should doodle. So I was doing nightly doodles, but kind of I call it the doodle downtime. You know, it's the time when the computers get turned off and you walk away from your cell phone and your computer and even your sewing machine, right? And you have your sketch pad, and I doodle a lot. So I've been doing this for several months. There's a lot of ladies online that I was inspired by. And a lot of people encouraged me, why don't you put that together in a book? So I put together a Quilter's Doodle 1. It's available on my website, and it's 20 of my hand-drawn doodles that are black and white. I show some samples online that are colored. My grandchildren love to color them, and my daughter-in-laws and my daughter. So there are some colored versions out there. But people can use it as a coloring book, but you could also just use it for maybe some free-motion quilting motif inspiration, you know, kind of look at what's there, trace over it, put a piece of paper on top and do some tracing. A lot of them are continuous line, which means you can do, you know, kind of mock them up with your machine or with thread. And some of them aren't, you know, some of them I kind of branched out a little bit and did some different things, but I love to look at them. I don't like to color them. I'm really glad that we have grandchildren that like
just
to color.
Them.
I don't like making, I collect them. I don't like to make the decision on the coloring part. So if anyone enjoys that, this would be a great book for them.
Well, Karen, this has been so much fun. People can sign, you know, come in and visit you, find out about all the things that you're doing online. And we appreciate getting to know you better.
Well, I'm really thankful that you asked me on the call, Pat. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of inspiration out there in the world, and it's great to see what you do and the people that you have on. So I'm honored to be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Quilts and More and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or many more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcase. Quilt along with us in 2016. Join our third annual quilt along by making a quilt, a one block pillow, or all four projects featuring plus sign designs. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/quiltalong for a list of participating bloggers and designers, and to see photos of what staff members and other readers are sewing. Share your photos on social media using the hashtag APQQuiltAlong to join the fun.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Sometimes it is really fun to have a shop owner on and talk a little bit about the things that they're doing in their shop, fun things, incredibly creative things. Shop owners have so many projects that they're always running, and I am delighted to have a local store, Finch Sewing Studio with me, with Nicole Morgenthau, and she has got the best and cutest little shop. So, hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I actually should give the whole name. It's Finch Knitting Sewing Studio. There we go.
That's it. Yeah.
And you are in Leesburg, Virginia, and are in an old building there. It's just beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, the building was built in 1790, so it comes with lots of character.
Yes. So just give me a little backstory on why you decided to open a shop, and you combine it with, you know, it's, you have lots of creativity going on there because it's not just the sewing.
Yes. I opened kind of at a crossroads in my personal life. I had little ones at home and was kind of making the decision to go back into my career, which was I was an assistant principal and an English teacher before that. While I was having some time off with my kids, I spent a lot of time sewing and did that growing up. And so I had to make a decision, and we really loved the town, thought it would be a great place to build a business. And really, I thought, I need some friends who are also doing some of these things. So that's how Finch came about.
I think that's funny that you had to have this so you could have your friends come sew.
Yes,
you
yes.
Find friends, right?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Now, where did the name Finch come from?
So, as I mentioned, I was an English teacher before this, and one of my favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird, and Leesburg feels very much like the town that To Kill a Mockingbird was set in. It's kind of a small, you know, sleepy town, and like I said, really the drive for me was a community point of view for the shop, so my goal was really to build community, and I felt like naming it after Atticus Finch was really appropriate. He's somebody I really admire and look up to, and so that's how we came up with the name Finch.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, you're always running all kinds of fun projects in your store, and they're creative. Mm-hmm. I think that that's what's really appealing. Tell me a bit about you know, the feel, because every store, I mean, you only have so much space. You can't carry everything. What is your sort of look and feel of your particular store?
Well, we really, another reason why we named it Finch and why we kind of liked the idea of being in the old town is that, you know, we all are kind of redoing things that have been done for a very long time. You know, the whole sewing craft comes from a very historical place. But, you know, we're trying to be really modern about it. And so we're in this old space, but we the space itself really takes on its own life. I mean, it kind of animates the product, I think. And so we try to purchase things that are really good quality and have a lot of modern appeal. So there's that kind of juxtaposition of old craft meets new interpretation with, you know, newer fabrics. I personally love working with Japanese textiles, so I have a lot of that in the shop.
Oh.
I grew up sewing my own clothes, so we have apparel fabric. We also have quilting fabric, and then we also carry yarn. So,
well, you know, I wanted to have you tell me a little bit about one of the events that you host, because it is just so awesome for expecting moms.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, tell me how that came about and what you run.
Sure. So we've done quite a number of baby showers out of Finch, and really it just came about because I had a lady come in and say, I love your store. I think it's so pretty, and this would be such a fun place. She was pregnant. Mm-hmm. This would be such a fun place to have a baby shower. Is that something you would consider doing? And so we loved the idea and thought that would be a really fun event. So, and to me, having all of your guests take part in making something for this baby just felt felt so special. So we do baby showers where we will make a quilt top together with all of the guests that the mom invites. And usually mom comes in and picks out all the fabric, and then we pick a very simple pattern. Mm-hmm. And we teach everybody how to piece the quilt together and do a little cutting, and mom maps out where everything goes so that it looks how she wants to look, and then we kind of finish it off for them when they're not here. But it's a really special thing, and we've, just because I think people like the idea and mm-hmm. can value that it's a beautiful gift for a baby and a mom, we've done quite a few of those. And in fact, we're getting ready to do them for our own employee in a couple of weeks. So we're very excited about it.
Yeah, I love the part that everybody participates in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're there with the expertise, because I imagine that a lot of people have never mm-hmm. even sewn who might come in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's neat, too, because usually there's somebody who's who has sewn, and then they're, you know, a lot of times like the mom or the grandma or an aunt or somebody has done some sewing. And so it's neat because you see all the women kind of learning from each other in that really traditional way that we used to learn these crafts. So we kind of almost recreate that moment for people right here in the shop.
Wow. I think it's super clever, Nicole. I think that
Thanks.
That's, you know, something that's, you know, you could even do it for other, like, gift kind. It wouldn't have to be a baby shower. People could do that
yeah,
same
absolutely.
Thing for, like, a group to make something together in one space.
Well, yes.
Like, you know.
Yeah, and we do that. We have done bridal showers where all the ladies will come together and make a clutch bag to use at the wedding, and you know, so we do lots of things like that. Anything to make it social and interactive is kind of the goal of Finch.
The other thing I wanted you to share, because you know it's always packing a lot in here in our segments, is that you had a visit from a very important person who works at Bernina and came and visited your store. Can you tell me about the chairman of the board who his visit at your shop?
Yes, so we were really honored to be asked to host Hans Peter Olchi, who's the fourth generation owner of Bernina International, and it was such a fun event. We did a little make and take project in the morning where people got to make something using all of the different models of the Bernina, and then Hans Peter came and spoke with us and signed sewing machines, and it was really cool because we had so many ladies who brought in two or three machines and said, I'm giving these two to my granddaughters, and this one's mine, and, you know, he signed all, I have a vintage one from the 50s, and he signed that too, so he told me, I've never signed this one before, so, anyway, it was a really fun event. He is a really impressive person. He speaks many different languages. We had a lady from Belgium and one from Germany and one from Norwegian, and he spoke all of those languages, and and he was very charming, and it was great. It was a real honor to have him, and really a fun event.
I think that that's neat that you have a very old machine and one that he hadn't seen yet. That's
I thought that was surprising to me too. I think the other thing is really interesting about Hans Peter in general is that sometimes you may assume that because this is a company that's been passed down to generation upon generation that he may not be as in tune with the product, but he was he was really impressive in that way. He knows the market really well and knew who he was speaking to and really cared about it, which made the whole event so much more fun because he, you know, really, really spoke with everybody about their interaction with the machines. And so it was great. It was a really fun time.
Yes, I had hoped that I could have come out, but unexpectedly I was not able to be home and visit because I would have loved to have done that. But I'm glad to hear that you had so much fun and you had great pictures shown up on your Instagram account.
Yeah.
So people, yes.
Yeah.
People get a chance to see.
Well, he says he'll come back again, so we'll have to have you come next time.
Okay, then I'll do. Yeah, I've not heard him speak, so that's sort of on my list. You know, I like to. You know, it's fun. It's a different kind of environment than being at a trade show when you see people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you have a newsletter people can sign up for?
We do. Yes, it's on our website, which. You can, I think you may have a link to it, but it's www.finchknittingsewingstudio.com, and we love for people to sign up. And we're also on all the, you know, in all of the social media sites, Facebook and Instagram as well.
And you have an adorable, easy little skirt tutorial right now that's up on the site for May 8th, 2016. So people can go check that out. It's really, really cute.
Thank you.
And that's for like children and adult, that one?
Yes. I've made it for my nieces and my daughter. And then I thought, why not make my own? And so I have also made my own. And it's a really cute, simple, quick project.
Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for having me. It was great to talk to you today.
We'll be right back after the break with American Patchwork and Quilting Studio.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me for a fun video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Luck. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project with me. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for the price of one. That's a full year free. Every issue is packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, detailed photography, complete materials lists, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today at allpeoplequilt.com.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Every month, Mary Abreu of Confessions of a Craft Addict is joining me for a more detailed chat on something. So, hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you?
Oh, I'm having fun. This is, I'm always excited because you have got so, we're going to talk at the end, like we'll do this at the end about your little project that you went out to the school to talk about because you're just a wealth of information. There's always something. So Mary's like, oh, yeah, I just did this, you know, make costumes for a television show, you know, or, you know, whatever. So, you know, you're a teacher, and you work in a shop, so you have access and you see a lot of people and their learning styles, over and over, like particularly for like the same kind of class. But sometimes they go home, Mary, don't they? And you can't help them anymore because they're not like there with you. Videos are a great way to get more information, right?
They really are. Sometimes it's just really hard to understand a technique in step-by-step photos. And I love being able to tell people to go to the All People Quilt website to find a video and say, you can find this technique, you know, in a video right there, and people can see it, and it really does click. I think some people can learn when they read directions, but mm-hmm. some people, if you're a much more visual learner, having a video where that shows it step by step just really makes it so much easier to then go, oh, that's how.
And I think, too, when you're in a class, there's sometimes so many things that you're learning that you actually don't even hear or see some of it, you know, particularly if it's really new.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially if it's something you've never done before,
mm-hmm.
And you may do it in the class and it makes perfect sense then, but then you get home and you're like, wait, I know I did this, but
right.
I can't quite remember how. And you just need that little visual reminder to sort of make it happen. And sometimes you have to do things two or three times before it really becomes that muscle memory for you to be able to do it. And mm-hmm. if you can't get that visual right there from the class, it's great to have a video where you can refer to it until you can get it on your own again.
Well, one of the nice things about the All People Quilt site for American Patchwork is that they have categories of videos. So there's like ones like just embroidery stitches, so that if you don't remember how exactly to do a Rosetta chain stitch, well, then you can go there and watch that. And there's the machine quilting minutes. There's tools like cutting and all those kind of things. What's one of your favorites that you would, you know, suggest people look at out at the site?
I really love videos that use pre-cuts because I seem to amass these things without, it is such an impulse buy for me to buy a pre-cut, whereas any yardage that I buy, I have a very specific plan for, but I'll get a pre-cut without thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm like, oh, I really like that, and I want one of every piece. And then I get home, and I have no idea what I'm going to do for it. So I love looking at those videos and getting an idea. I was like, oh, I have this charm square, and I am the worst at collecting charm squares, quite frankly.
Oh.
It is like... They're like candy.
I know.
I swear. I don't even think about it. It's like, oh, yeah, I need that. Or a jelly roll. And it's like, what am I going to do with this? And so I can go there. There's a great easy patchwork placemat, table runner that mm-hmm. you can do. I mean, anything that shows some way to use like a jelly roll or a charm square is really at the top of my list because those are the things that I look at. And I, of course, never bought anything to go with it. So by the time I get to it, it's like, well, I can't find this fabric anymore. What can I make with, you know, this and some random, you know, solid or blender that'll go with it? And so there's some great ideas for how to use up those things that we all just kind of collect. And
right. They're so cute. You have to stack them to be, you know, as decoration in the studio to you.
They really are. And, you know, you take the vacuum cleaner to them every now and then.
Right.
Shuffle them around so they, right. you know, freshen up. They're very colorful and pretty. I have a basket just filled with charm squares. It is decorative. My husband seems to think they should be functional in that I should sew them, but he doesn't sew. What does he know?
Yes. Just silly people in your family.
Exactly.
I like the embroidery stitches section because right now with the Splendid Sampler, we're doing a lot of, you know, there's embroidery coming up and people are adding embroidery to their work. And so this is a way to get really up close and watch somebody actually stitch it for just that stitch rather than watching a whole full-blown class. A lot of these are really very directed to one tiny specific thing. So
they're great. I like the French knot because inevitably I will always, it's one stitch that I just always have some sort of block against in making it just the exact right way. So I love being able to hone in and do it. And embroidery, hand embroidery is so great because you can add such personalization to whatever you're working on. And so with something like the Splendid Sampler, you have the ability to really just make it even a little more personalized and, mm-hmm. and vary you.
Yeah, and then out on our Facebook group for that, there have been some quilters doing just amazing additions of just that little bit of embroidery, and it's really got my brain sort of, you know, skipping around to the possibilities. The other thing I wanted to chat with, which you sort of talked a little bit about up there, was you know, what to do with that fabric that we bought and then we're, you know, like the bundles. Because, I mean, being in a shop, I'm sure that you hear it. You know, we do it ourselves, but you must hear it a lot. People come in and say, I bought these 5 fat quarters. You know, what do I make with them?
Oh, yes. absolutely. And you kind of, you always, I mean, for me, I always hope that somebody has more fat quarters and they're willing to kind of edit if they have to.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, Yellow Brick Road. But sometimes it doesn't work and they want something a little bit different. I like, I'll look at like the Motobag Shop website because they have all of their projects broken down by pre-cuts. And so you can just kind of click through and see. For me, for some reason, I have a hard time figuring out what to do with charm squares other than just half square triangles with some sort of background fabric. So I really love getting the ideas for some of those shapes and doing something a little more unexpected maybe than just sort of sewing everything together, you know, and just like square after square after square.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, and fun. It's fun to kind of see different ways of doing things and having it organized that way, because when you already know what you have this given quantity, you then have that sort of starting point. And sometimes you want to add background fabric in or something else, but sometimes you want to make something with just that. And that's a good way to kind of see what's accessible, what's out there, and sort of what some options are, and maybe how to tailor that to what you have.
And you can also expand your mind just a tiny bit more. The thought process is, if you have a fat quarter that is 5-inch squares, that is parts of a strip, or, you know, it is 10-inch squares, like a layer cake, which is probably cut up anyway. So you don't have to limit yourself. If you've got five fat quarters, you can look at any kind of pre-cut design. You're going to take that and cut it up.
Yep. Everything can be cut. I actually showed someone once, she wanted to do some English paper piecing and just do some hexagons. And she's like, well, all I have are these 1-inch hexagons and this charm square. And she said, but they're too big. I said, no, you've got actually four times the amount of fabric that you need in the charm square just by cutting it in half and then half again. And that's the perfect size to have fabric to wrap around an English paper pieced 1-inch hexagon.
Ooh, see, now we're all going to be grabbing a square and hexagon.
Yeah, and you don't even, I mean, it's something you don't even have to have a rotary cutter and a ruler to do that, because you can just fold and cut along the fold.
Mm-hmm. Ah, perfect, perfect, perfect. All right, so I want to get this, I want to talk about what you did with this at the school. I want to be sure we have enough time, so let's do that now. You had gave a talk called Stitches and STEM.
Yes. So STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math, and there's a real focus on that, and especially in getting girls interested in STEM-type careers. And here in Georgia, STEM Day was last week, where schools were encouraged to do a focus on STEM, and I went and talked to my daughter's fifth grade class about the connection between sewing and quilting and STEM, because I don't think we really, as sewing and quilting enthusiasts, make that connection that we are doing so much with math and geometry. And I think a lot of us like to say, oh, I'm not very good at math, or, you know, that's not really my strength. But the fact of the matter is, we are constantly using math in what we do, and it's a great way to highlight how this is a great, it builds spatial relationships. We rely a lot on that. We rely so much on math. I mean, we're dealing in fractions and calculating inches and yardage and things like that. And so it was really fun to go into her class and talk about the math foundation, you know, to converting body measurements into 2D pattern blocks, and then using those blocks to make patterns, which then wrap around a 3D figure, and different ways of using math and calculating how to design a quilt and a quilt block using graph paper or apps or programs like EQ. So it was really fun to kind of go in there and show them all of these different things and explain how this is math, and having a good foundation in math makes it so much easier and so much more relevant than you would realize. I mean, I use, you know, you're an author as well, and I've never as an adult had to diagram a sentence or point out the parts of speech in something I've written for one of my books, but I use math every single day.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. And then I got to do some fun things with toys, because I'm all about tech things, and I know that you're pretty techie and into coding too. So, you know, talking to them about things like electroluminescent wire and using Arduino microprocessors to add LED lights to things. And I made a little embroidered quilted project and just added some LEDs to it that with a twinkle pattern, that just to kind of show them that these are things where you can add even more to the quilts and things that we're doing. So it was really fun, and they were like, "Wow, I didn't know that."
did they want to? Did you see anybody who sort of like the kids? Did you go, "That one might get it. That one might move into something."
It was really fun. As I actually used my Silhouette Cameo to cut out a bunch of 1-inch hexagons from different scrapbook papers and gave them glue sticks and a big 12x12 piece of paper and these different color hexagons and showed them how you can make patterns out of the hexagons and how you can cut up the hexagons to make even different patterns and just let them go to town without any rules. And it was really interesting to see how they interpreted that, because some of them were still very literal in leaving the hexagons intact and making very organized and orderly rows, but some of them really saw where you could cut into those and make some kind of improv shapes, and you could really see how they connected what I had said with what I gave them. And I was like, some of these guys got talent.
Yeah.
I need to get them sewing.
Yeah, that's right. Get them sewing clothing, you know.
Exactly.
So, you know, do you have children's classes in your shop, right?
Yep, we do. We teach summer camp. I teach 2 weeks of summer camp. There's another teacher who teaches 3 weeks, and we just have a lot of fun. It's a lot of kids usually from 11-ish up to about 15. It seems to be around 15 or so that they start getting interested in other things.
Right. What's a good project, Mary, for those who are thinking, you know, a little bit ahead here when they might have, you know, do something with their kids this summer, grandkids, nieces, nephews?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many things. The magic pillowcase pattern. You know, the Million Pillowcase Challenge. That pillowcase pattern is fantastic. Because it finishes the seam allowances at once. It's something useful. If they're going to another camp or they're going to grandma's house or something for the summer, it's a great thing that they can take with them that's very personalized. I love starting my kids on making pajama pants or shorts. They like making tote bags, reading things, you know, things they can put their books in, going to the library. But I just love seeing what inspires them and sort of letting them tell me the sort of things they want to make. And sometimes I've done improv foundation piece quilting before, which is really nice because it does sort of help take the some of the scariness out of it as far as matching up and cutting things, and just letting them sort of deal with that and then going on and making that into a pillow or making it into a wall hanging or something like that. And it's, you know, and it's something that you can do with scraps, and it doesn't have to have a whole lot of fabric.
Mary, this has been so much fun.
Well, thank you again for having me, Pat. You know, it's one of my favorite things to do. I always love chatting with you.
Thank you. We'll be right back after the break.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Join American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, giveaways, and more. Find us at facebook.com/APQ magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and the Moda Bake Shop is part of the Moda family of websites and of things available to you to use, like Mary and I were talking about. Lots of great inspiration. So it's always exciting to get to talk to Joe Morton. I know some of you are just like wiggling in your seats that we get to listen to Joe and I talk, and I'm wiggling in my seat too. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Are you awake from your jet lag and jet setting all over Europe?
It's funny. I didn't have jet lag coming home. So,
That's fabulous.
I know.
I always do.
Well, I don't know. Coming home this time, we flew in the daytime instead of at night, and I think it made a difference.
Ah, okay. So that's the new trick.
Maybe.
Well, I want to talk about a few things, catch up with you on what is new in the land of Joe. Let's first talk about your book. It's called Joe's Little Favorites, and it's about small scrap quilts. And I'm curious, did you always make small scrap quilts? I mean, you've always done sort of scrappy, but how about the size? Were you always making small projects?
Well, not always. It's like everybody. My first quilt was a double bed-sized quilt, and it took me 14 months, but that was 35 years ago. Yeah. And I was working full-time, but because we have a smaller home, I wanted little pieces to put everywhere in the house, and I just sort of, everything kept going smaller, 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 and I'm still doing that. I mean, I'm not going micro, but I love making little quilts. And I don't think it has a thing to do with attention deficit.
Of course not.
Of course not. Anyway, it's just a chance to play with fabric and make something that I can look at and admire every day. So
now I guess the book is gorgeous. This is Joe's Little Favorites. It's from the Patchwork Place. But the photography and the settings, oh my gosh, describe it a little bit.
Well, I was lucky enough that I was free that I could meet up with them when they did the photography shoot in Iowa. It was like 3 hours away. So I got to play with all the great stuff in this store that they were able to use. And, of course, with Jennifer's help, we made these great sets. And it was so exciting because I think there was a lot of different flavors, not just one like if you were in my house. Mm-hmm. Because I would have limited appeal, and that just brought in a lot of things I don't have. So yeah. I was really excited, and it was such a fun two-day shoot playing with things, and I had to bring a couple home, of course. And I know.
For research. It's just research, Joe. You know, you need
to. Well, no, I'm playing with them and using them in my home now. So I think that's, I don't know. Shopping.
That's right. Well, you know, a lot of the focus on this book is also with scraps. Its tagline is Timeless Quilts from Scraps and Fat Quarters. So I had this question I sent to you, and I loved your answer. You know, I'm like, how do you organize scraps?
And I said, I don't.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm dying. Really? It's like you don't keep them or what?
No, I don't. Small pieces, I don't. There are a few people I know that make miniatures. Mm-hmm. So they can get little, you know, scrap bags from me. But I need to be able to see fabric when I'm pulling fabric for a project. And so I have a lot of fat quarters and half yard cuts that I cut from, work from. Mm-hmm. And I need to be able to see that and pull things, put it all over the cutting table, and then cut it up and start sewing. But I just don't have the patience to sort scraps and go, I don't like this. I still have to find things. So I just start fresh every time.
Yeah,
I know.
It's especially when you're doing work projects where, you know, you don't have a luxury of a lot of hours spent to play around in them. I wanted to ask you a bit about color palette because yours is a very traditional, more like Civil War to me kind of palette for a lot of your things. Have you always worked in that? Because that's how I've always sort of known you.
Pretty much. I've always liked the earthy tones. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll venture out and play with other colors, but it's just comfortable for me. And the other reason is when I make a quilt, I make it for me that it fits in our home. And then I share it with the rest of the world in publishing books and patterns. Yeah. So obviously I'm going to make things in colors that work in my house. That said, I have made some projects that don't work for me. And they have either been gifted or moved along because, you know, you have limited space for all this. So, but it's fun to try something new. But you know, the ones I just sew for me. Selfish, isn't it?
Well, you know, it keeps your style, that's for sure. You don't have to
think
about it.
It does. I know. I just sort of think I'm just that old-fashioned girl out there working the way I always have, and I'm quite happy with that. So,
well,
anyway.
And also, if that's how your home is and everything else, then that's, you know, that's,
yeah.
That, I find people, you know, that works. Now, what
that's
I
right.
want to talk about your fabric. You have a new fabric line with Moda. Tell me about
it. I am so excited. And it's when people see it, I think they're going to be a little bit surprised because I started with a gorgeous Jacobean stripe. And they're going to go, that doesn't look like Joe. Well, maybe not, but it's the color palette. It's beautiful. They're going to love it. And, you know, you don't want to really do the same thing over and over, but I found great patterns to put with it, and they're busy little prints. And I just love the whole group, every piece. And I've been sewing, you know. Some things will be shown at market. I've been sewing for another book for next year, so they won't see those for a while. But it's the reds and browns, my creamy tans, and sometimes a little bit of a teal shade and reds, and then that nice, the teal that leans to the green, not the blue mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. And I've just had such fun with them. So I hope people, that shop owners, that they come by the stand in the Moda area and see the new Joe.
The new Joe, and your line is called Gratitude.
Gratitude. So. There's just, I guess I'm at a point in life, I'm just grateful for a lot of things. And my husband had a lower back fuse last fall. He's doing great. Mm-hmm. And so when all this stuff happens pretty soon, you go, I'm just pretty grateful for just about everything. So that was kind of the reason I threw that in the hat as a choice. And that's the one that came out.
Yeah, isn't it funny how, you know, just sometimes things reflect our point in life?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like 2 years from now, that wouldn't be a word that would come to your brain, and 2 years prior, it wouldn't have. But
yeah,
at that point, well, I can't wait to see it and share Modaland with you.
I'm looking forward to it. I hang down there with you guys, you know, at every market anyway. At least swing through and say hi. So now I get to chat.
That's right. We all get to hang
yeah.
out. So I wanted to get. To have you give me a little tip, because it's something that I saw in your book about clipping for like small patchwork, because these are small projects, and I, you know, I think people struggle sometimes with smaller pieces, getting them
right
flat,
okay.
and you know that stuff.
Yes. Okay, I have what I've called a clipping trick, and it's so I can open up seam intersections, but I clip on both sides so that I leave a half inch. I'm not clipping at the seam. And the reason that all happened, because back 35 years ago, I hand pieced, I hand quilted, and I hand appliqued. So when you hand piece, you're stopping, you know, before the edge of the fabric, that quarter inch in. Mm-hmm. And when you press, you have options to repress. When I started machine sewing, I didn't have that option. Once you've sewn across the seam allowance, mm-hmm. you're committed. And
yeah.
I couldn't figure out, how can I open this up? How can I get flatter intersections? So I decided, came up with this clipping trick. And since it's not on the seam, it's really not a problem. And once things are sandwiched, you know, with the batting and it's quilted, it's very secure, and you don't have those ugly humps and bumps.
Yeah.
So I'm really big on pressing and having a good block, all the blocks press the same way, and your long arm quilter will love you and work you in. Because
yes.
her job will be a breeze.
Well, that's the goal of our quilts, is to be sure we can get them in and get them quilted. I know. That's
I know. At market time, it's like, oh, my gosh, can you do
I
one
know.
More?
Yeah. Crazy. Now, a lot of your projects are hand quilted in here. What kind of thread do you use?
I've been using either Guterman or YLI, and it's the waxed quilting thread. Mm-hmm. And I usually like a tan shade, not an ecru. Ecru's too light for my palette. Mm-hmm. So a nice medium tan, and it just kind of disappears, you know, quilting across the colors. So that's what's worked for me. And then I also choose a backing that's kind of in that palette or has a lot mm-hmm. of color to kind of hide any missed stitches or anything, because mm-hmm. it's really still hard to quilt through all the seams, you know, when you're going across seams and stuff. So right. I don't know. I've just kind of figured out ways to make things easier for me, and I like to share them with the quilting world.
Yeah. Are you still traveling some for doing any teaching, or is it now you just
I'm not done, but just right. about. I have a trip this summer to Pennsylvania, and I'm teaching at Quilt Odyssey, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to teach at Mary's Quilt Shop in Bedford. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of I've been saying no for a long time because Russ and I want to travel. And right. if you have all these dates booked, then you miss out on going to France mm-hmm. or Australia or even Yellowstone Park, you know, yeah. here in the States. Right. So it's time that we travel while we still can. Not getting any younger.
Right. Oh, God.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, you're figuring out the jet lag thing. So you were just in France on
yes.
on vacation.
Yes.
Did you do any quilt things? We have about, I don't know, we have about a minute left, minute and a half.
Okay. Yes. I was there. I got to see that beautiful show in Nantes that Quilt Mania sponsors. And it's a very unusual show because they set up these rooms for the artists to show their work. And these are books that Quilt Mania has published. Mm-hmm. Besides having a lot of vendors. It's a small, high-quality show. It's nothing like going to Houston. It's very pleasurable. And when something is in Europe, because Europe is, you know, smaller in comparison, you run into people from England and Belgium and down from the Netherlands, and somebody yeah. drove over from Germany and up from Spain.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes this melting pot of all these people that have met, and they get to see each other again.
Oh,
so it was fun. It was great fun.
That's one of those that's on the list, I think, for a lot of us to see, Joe. It sounds like it's a must-do. But this,
well, it is. And it's a great way to expand what we normally do. And it's, you know, it's not that far.
No. Well, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. We'll see you
okay.
soon.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. See you in Salt Lake City.
Yep.
Okay.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be back next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for